All right, when we were talking about regression and prediction, we wanted to be able to compare two potential predictors to determine if one would be better. So we could ask, which is the better predictor of y, x1 or x2? We can do the same thing with two potential classification variables. We can ask, which is the better basis for accurate classification? We're essentially going to do the same thing. Only instead of getting two correlations, we're going to start with two ANOVAs. What's the relationship between what group you're in and the one classification variable versus what group you're in and the other classification table? Because we know that we can turn an F into an R. So we get two ANOVAs. We turn each of those ANOVAs into an R, and we compare the R values for the two different classification variables. Make sense? So you can ask, which of these two is better for classifying? For example, which provides better for classification between schizophrenic versus depression, number of times laughing out loud, or score on a depression scale? Somebody didn't like our laughing out loud thing. They wanted to use some standardized scale. What's up with this? So for laughing out loud, we see the same data we saw before. We get a F of 7 when we compare those two means, and that translates to an effect size, or an R, of 0.413. The depression scale didn't do quite as well. It had an F of 4, which translates out to a depression scale index, or effect size, of 0.324. Again, these are not real data. We plug these in, recognizing that there's a correlation of 0.35 between depression and number of laughs, and we get a Z value that is less than 1.96. We would retain the null. We would say there's no difference in classification accuracy between these two. Make sense? So all the stuff you can do with correlation and prediction, you can do with classification and discriminant function analysis. All 12 of the models exist in discriminant function. Not all of them are used, not all of those 12 are used nearly as much in discriminant function as in multiple regression. In fact, the only thing that really gets used very much is running and interpreting a full model. And the reason for that is, I'll explain more later today and several more times as we go along, you get this other weight in discriminant function. You get a standardized weight, you get an unstandardized weight, and then you get this thing called a structure score. And that structure score, to a large extent, is a substitute for all sorts of model comparisons, all sorts of more complicated procedures. And I'll try and explain that more. I just wanted to have you primed and ready to hear about structure scores later. It's also possible to compare the same correlation in two different populations. We can also compare classification accuracy in two different populations, doing the same idea. We compute the ANOVA for each population or sample, we convert them, and then we compare the R values using Fisher's Z-test. So you want to know if laughing out loud discriminates as well between depression and schizophrenic patients for inpatients and for outpatients. So for inpatients, we have this F of 12, which translates out to an effect size of 4.7. For outpatients, we get this F of only 2, which translates out to an effect size of 0.149. We plug those into the statistical model, and we get a Z score that is smaller than 1.96. And so we would say that these two populations get predicted equally well by number of laughs. Now you look at this and you say to yourself, wait a minute, that's huge, that's tiny, neither of these are very good sample sizes. And I remember, because I remember things like this when Cal says them, I remember that Cal said that this is a fairly weak statistical test. And so before we say that these two effect sizes really are equivalent, we'd probably want to have a beefier sample, because this looks a whole lot like a low power type 2 error.